Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse that are running off my feet. I got a bad mustache, a reoccurring rash, and not a lot of cash to spend it on mustache. Man, it's good to be a geek. It's good to be a geek.
Welcome to the I Want More Comics and Games podcast, recorded at I Want More Comics and Games, a local comic store in Thornton, Colorado. You can reach us by phone at 303-460-7226 or on all social media platforms. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Hello, hello. We're back at it, finally.
We doing it?
We're going to do it. So let's start it off official.
We took a minute.
We did. We'll start it off.
Five.
That's
or
fine.
An hour.
Welcome to the I Want More Comics and Games podcast. I'm Richie.
You are. I'm Sean.
There you go.
I still am Keith.
That is correct. We're getting
I remember.
I think.
You nailed it.
I have no proof anymore. My mind is gone.
That's 100%. But I think after that, we start the news. That was pro. Good timing. Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah.
Are we just going to pat ourselves on the back every time we do it right today? Because it feels like we need it.
Yes. I need it to move forward.
There was the 20 things before that were
don't worry
right.
about those. Yeah. Don't worry about those. This is the good part.
Does this take 67?
They only know the good part.
Hey. Except for the fact that we told them there was other things.
See, this is where we get wrong.
News.
Hit me with some news.
We missed a couple things. I brought a few things for us to chat about that are a little older. Some are new. Let's start with the big news. National Coming Out Day happened in October, and with it came a huge announcement for DC Comics. Jonathan Kent, our current Superman, has decided to come out and tell his truth that he is bisexual.
Who is Jonathan Kent?
Jonathan Kent is the son of Superman, for those that are not in the well-known DC verse.
And Lois, don't discredit the mother.
Yeah,
Lois
what the hell?
Lane, of course. Yes.
From the Convergence storyline.
Correct. And they kind of upped him in age for those that think that he's still kind of teaming up with young Damian. He's actually progressed to 18, I think. So he's a bit older now, and now is currently taking the mantle up while Superman goes and takes care of the off-planet stuff.
Yeah, all your Challenge of the Super Sons, same character.
Yep.
And then with that boomerang story where they went to space and all this, and that's where they did some of the aging and all this. So if everybody
story,
wants to figure out which, again, because there's been several people that have been Superboy, and now this is Superman.
Yes,
that's,
it is.
That's a big deal here.
And so it was Tom Taylor that made the announcement, the writer of the current series, Superman, Son of Kal-El. He put it out basically, for him, it was having people being able to recognize themselves within comics. He thinks it's very important. And for those of you that are reading along, it's actually kind of something that most readers kind of knew after issue 3. Where we were introduced to Jay Nakamura with issue 1. And that is the love interest for Jonathan Kent, who is he's kind of like a black market reporter on the real news that the big production news companies are afraid to go for. He goes for kind of thing. And
not controlled by the money.
Correct. Yeah. It's passion and it's real. So the thing about it is nice is that it's, you know, his kind of falling in love with a reporter like his dad before him, which is kind of cute. So I thought I'd bring that up and see if you guys had any thoughts on this, what our take was, and kind of go from there. And then
very
I have
first
a
thing
little addition to that
that popped in my mind about this whole thing is a business side thing,
yeah,
which is that I love that they were able to turn around and announce this before orders were due for the book.
Yeah, yes. Instead of like, hey, by the way.
too often a book like this will turn around and have a great deal of desire to be picked up by a lot of people for the event, for the idea, for representation, for, you know, like this is my guy, you know, things like this. And we hear about it, of course, about the week that it comes out.
Right.
And we're already committed with the same numbers like we were selling the issue before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really tough. We're really trying to get into everybody's hands who was reading it. But then all the whole flood of new people want to get into it. Well, knowing about it before we had to do that, we were able to promote it. We were able to turn around and get ahead of it and get reservations in. We doubled the amount of people that wanted to reserve the book compared to normal subscriptions. Mm-hmm. And then we still ordered above that because we know that some people won't hear about it until a little bit later. So I love that side of things that just worked out. It was very well timed with, you know, National Coming Out Day. Yep. And it was the following week that the FOC was there.
And I want to double down on that because I think that it's important to note that this is going to be issue 5 when it drops. And by that point, we really have locked down our basic numbers for the order.
Yeah, usually the numbers are pretty much set.
Yeah, typically at that point.
Well, they just announced that they are reprinting 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. There are new reprints on all of it there because
so you don't have to miss the story.
Nope. You want to get the whole story, you'll be able to have all of that. Like I said, orders are up on 5. So business side of it, that was really great that we're not dealing with something that is really limited or fighting the hype idea, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that it's not going to get into the hands of everybody who wants it.
Right. I remember when was it Captain America Brubaker's 25 came out and
the
whole Death of Cap, and it got broke on one of the news companies.
Dude, it was like,
and nobody knew about it.
USA Today.
It was something like that. It was something weird. And then everybody was coming into the comic store, they were just gone. It was like,
Yeah, it's that Captain book. America 25.
Hey, first of all, thanks for spoiling the story I've been reading for 2.5 years. By the way.
Right.
Secondly, we don't have that book.
Yeah. But,
wait, hold on. You were reading a Brubaker story?
I'm telling you, man.
That's weird. That's very weird.
It's kind of strange.
I don't know what's going on. Now let's talk about significance.
Yes. Because
I think that one of the biggest parts about this is, and Tom Taylor hits the nail on the head, representation, right?
That's correct.
You know, mm-hmm. that everybody likes to feel like that they connect with the characters out there. They're drawn to that. They sense some of the shared kinsmanship. And mm-hmm. to have that available for anyone out there, for all ethnicities, all religions, all sexual orientations, every little thing that you can think about, it's important.
Yeah.
What really amps this one up is that it is the largest and most iconic symbol in all of comics.
That's right.
The S on the chest. Mm-hmm. We all know what it is. It's been there from the beginning. And to see that this is representing...
Yeah, people around the world know what the hell that is.
Yeah, to see that it's this everywhere. Is representing, you know, a definite minority out there, I think that's really strong. And, you know, and it also shows that DC's willing to turn around and put that on one of their biggest brands.
Yeah.
The positivity around that is very good.
Right. And I think it's just done so well in the aspect of there's an importance to the fact that this is the current Superman story going on. There is no other Superman story. There's a Superman in the Authority, which is kind of taking place a bit in the future, and we will have Action Comics bringing out something else. But as far as Superman title goes, Superman Son of Kal-El is what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's important. It shows that they're not, like, skirting the issue. It is up front and center, and it to me it means an earnestness. There's something there that they actually want to tell.
Well, it's not like they're not using it as an Elseworlds title
right.
or anything like that.
Where they could do something, yeah.
You covered it a little bit also there, but I'm gonna highlight your point.
Please.
This was not out of the blue.
No.
This has definitely been integrated into the story. Mm-hmm. This was a conscious decision. It is not being just shoehorned in as a, hey, look, it's, you know, right. October's a, you know, a National Awareness Month. We should definitely do that. No, it's been built there. And everybody, like you said, it kind of had it like, well, you know, hey, there's been eyes and made, you know, in this. I wonder if, and they came out and confirmed.
Agreed.
So that's strong points for this. And you know, again, the interest level and the reception that this got from, you know, our community, you mm-hmm. know, plug the Facebook group, I Want More Comics, Comic
right.
Talk, where you want to find out about all this
at?
Stuff and do all this. You know, it has been overwhelmingly positive. And that I like to see that in our world because these things may not, it's not relevant to me. I'm not finding representation in this. This isn't my character that I connect with and all that. But I right. want others to see that. I want them to turn around and have their experience. They can have somebody who lines up to their ideas. And it's been, you know, like I said, for overwhelmingly, it's been positive there.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it was done more organically. So that is a huge thing because, like you said, when you drop something in out of the blue like that, it makes everybody go, what?
To add on top of that, which I kind of hinted at, there's also another creation from the story of Nubia, Queen of the Amazons, that dropped this week. And Stephanie Williams is the writer, creator there. They are talking about there are five women who join the denizens of Themyscira that have to go through the Soul Well and become Amazonians. And Nubia is kind of like their guide and the queen to doing that. And for the first time ever in this comic book, they have a transgender character. Mm-hmm. Her name is Baya, and which is custom as you go through the Well of
the
Souls.
Ceremony.
Yeah, the ceremony. you get to create your own name and kind of shed your past and then become who you're going to be as a Themyscirian or an Amazonian. And for Bay, it was her story was talking about how she, her person died in man's world, and now she's finally home, and she was like crying and tearing up. And this was not unlike, it's kind of the opposite of what Tom Taylor had done. Unlike kind of putting it out there and saying, hey, this is coming out, this was more organically, which is what the creators wanted. They just kind of put it in their story. And then several people picked it up on Twitter and started asking. And Stephanie was like, yeah, I'm very excited you guys found out. It wasn't a secret, but it wasn't going to be a big deal either. This was just kind of like something that's happening. And again, it's a point of representation. It is a first in the comic book realm for DC on this aspect, so, and a first for Themyscira. So all really good things. Again, more opening up representation, more opening up other venues and other people to see themselves in comic books, which I'm about.
I'm super excited that you say that that word, because I can't say Themyscira.
Themyscira.
I trust me. I was every time I was about to say it, I went, here we go.
Yeah, right.
Pretty sure that's when I mess up every time. Yeah.
So. The idea of this being part of the story and just being there, you know, instead of fireworks and flair and, you know, first whatever putting on the comic book, that's the way it should be.
This is
the way we're supposed to get to in the world. That we're just going to, these things are, they exist, and everybody should just be like, okay, yep, and nod and get along with it and all this. I understand why we do need to kind of shine a light on it sometimes.
Of course.
Because it's not equal in the world yet. It's not fair. Uh-huh. And it's good to turn around and say, hey, look, there's progress being made.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, this will be good when everybody just accepts. And it's just, yep, that's what happened today. That's fine. You know, like,
yeah.
And you talk about it as if it's a matter of fact idea. As opposed to any kind of a difference.
Talk about a utopian world I'd love to live in, because that's exactly right.
It'll be not. It's a long way off.
It's
there's
a long way
there.
There's
a lot of work to do. The world has shown us through, especially the last 5 years.
Well, I mean, it's just to flex your like extra nerd credit here. What is it? With Star Trek, when they're deciding to bring planets into the Federation.
Yes.
And they come down and they look at the planet and they go, "Yeah, you guys would fit." Right now, they're looking at us going, oh no.
Not there yet.
This isn't, you guys aren't there yet. You guys got a while.
Yeah. And we still got a couple of years before we have to develop warp drive to track the Vulcans.
I think we're already in Mad Max. So.
We're just hitting that now. Yeah. We're at the beginnings of Mad Max.
Okay,
now.
good.
We're going to talk about that later.
So the last story I have, I brought from Comic Book Resources. .com, and it is another kind of Twitter explosion that happened, and this was just yesterday, but Hawkeye is going to be a Disney Plus series that's coming out. It looks like it's going to be Christmas themed, and those into the comic books can tell.
It's Home Alone with a bow.
Yeah. But those that have read Matt Fraction's run of Hawkeye can see very extremely that it's taking.
Did you
read it? Yes, I did.
That's good, because I didn't.
I'm sure. But it's taking big chunks of that kind of continuity and putting it into a story, which I'm for 100%. The thing they released was a picture, a poster, their promo poster of the new series. And it features kind of like an arrow pointing down with a purple cityscape background and then the main characters of the story. It was pointed out that this looks very much like David Aja, the artist's work in the covers and things like that, where he really incorporated the arrow directive and the purple
highlight. He does really good work. Yeah, I like his design work a lot.
Great. Mm-hmm. And it shows because that's what they chose to kind of put up there. And that's great. However, there's no really like credit to him at all. Like it just kind of
that's because
taken.
They added the dog. Or,
yeah, there's a dog on there that's not in.
The, and the dog's got a little but what Santa hat.
You guys
or
can
whatever.
Find this on the internet if you're yeah. listening to this. You can find it and check it out and kind of make your choice themselves. But to me personally, I feel like it does kind of represent his artwork and his directive. Someone called it out and. The article kind of makes it a little bit more grandiose than it is, but AHA was tagged in it and said, like, you know, you guys got to start crediting the artist. And David came back and said, you know what? I have a better idea. Stop crediting and just start paying. So
yeah.
another kind of call out of like, I'm fine with you using my work. Just pay me for it. And we're all good. So
I do wonder how much of this has to do with the difference in their industry to our industry.
Right.
If you were going to turn around and do a cover today, and take one of the iconic poses or mm-hmm, the iconic
sure.
looking covers.
Yeah, the iconic covers.
Let's say you wanted to turn around and do, and a guy was like kind of like crouched down and like hunched up,
surrounded by webs,
kind of surrounded and like this. Maybe you wanted to put it on Batman number 118.
Right.
But you know, like you're probably going to put on there
after
McFarlane, yes. you know, because your
favorites yeah. are always McFarlane after McFarlane.
Loves
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty
I'm going to start demanding that Mateena do that.
Mateena yeah, after Mateena.
Because Mateena DC versus Vampire just came out, and he has these gorgeous Batman as a vampire headshot. But yeah. that headshot is perfect to the deceased.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like,
he knows what he's doing.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah, but he's doing it himself. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
But, so in our world, we always like to throw the credit out, right? Like
yes.
that's standardized in comics. Mm-hmm. You know, like we recognize who has come before us and we have turned around and done that. So I wonder, like it feels like that's not something you would see normally in movie industry.
Movie, right. TV, or anything
no,
like that.
No, you see a lot of movie posters that recycle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and do
that.
That
same,
don't
well, the big, what was it, the... Like Dune is a perfect example where you have all the heads strategically yeah. put on there. And that poster has been redone countless number of times with every sci-fi.
11 jabillion.
Every, yeah. every superhero movie. It's always that head lineup. One's looking one way. The bad guy's usually the bigger head. And that's all the same thing. I mean, mm-hmm. and so they never credit where it all came from.
Yeah, so. Right. I feel like we're more sensitive to that.
I would agree with that, and I think
oh,
that...
Oh, yeah, comic nerds will jump right down your throat oh, if yeah. you're like, you took that cover from so-and-so, and you're a jerk face, yeah. and they'll just lose their yeah. minds. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So it is interesting, and I would say that David AHA is doing great. Like, he's not...
No, he's not. He's not being upset. Bad about this at
he's
all.
He's not
no.
being bad at all.
No,
he's,
no.
And I don't
and
think
he has a fair point.
He does have a point. If you look at the poster, I think you'll see too. He has a point.
Here's the thing.
But it's got a dog.
Yeah. Though the pun for "it has a point" was brilliant, and I'm upset that I went through it. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I do like that. Through all of our years here, we've trained Rich Hand puns.
He starts
so
doing puns.
Well.
I was doing them on the show.
I didn't even.
I never once.
I didn't even know I did that.
I know. I'm the one.
He's the one that
yeah.
got it.
I'm the one that did. Yeah.
All right. So I don't. I think that it would be just fine for them to kick him a couple bucks.
Just a couple bucks.
Yeah, yeah,
he's not expecting
that is
much.
True.
Well,
it's not wrong.
Even
but you
not,
know, like
maybe get a trip to Disneyland.
Right.
Yeah. I gotta hope that he is also credited in part of this show.
You gotta hope. Yeah.
Because this is definitely drawing from material.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so.
All right. So that'll take us right.
So you're saying he storyboarded it. I'm just kidding.
I don't think.
Anyway, moving on.
Close.
Where are we going?
We are going to go to reviews.
What are reviews?
Reviews. Don't look. He had his finger on the button. But we are doing comic book reviews of things that we've read. Now we've been gone a little bit.
I don't
so
even know what
these,
this button does.
You do know what that button does.
What does it do?
Stop lying. Stop.
I kind of want to hear what it does.
We don't need to hear.
We do.
We need to hear it.
I think we do.
We don't.
Do me a solid, scary. Man.
Huh? Do him a solid.
The suspense.
Show him what that button does.
Spinning the Rex. Da-da-da.
This is why
candy like button.
This
I
is
love
why
button.
when we have problems and complications about doing the podcast, I'm like, it's fine. We don't. Have to. So let's do comic book reviews. Like I said, we've been gone a little bit, so a few of these are a little older. Some of these are brand new.
Mine was last week.
Mine was last week, but I think
I don't think yours was last week.
This was this week.
I think you're trying to jump the future here.
Teensy bit jumping into the future because I wanted to talk
about
something that I already talked
about.
To
the current week.
That's right.
What are you doing?
Stop it. Either way, we'll start with Sean.
Why?
Because you're giving me crap and I'm making
because
you
because your review takes 10 seconds.
Yes.
Not really. I mean, this
I feel
is
like
a very complex.
I was already
no,
told.
No, no, no. I'm pretty sure we could just keep pulling up old episodes and referencing.
That's because I'm
already
talking
about this.
Referencing.
I'm going to beat this horse into the ground until you're all reading this book.
Okay, so what book is that?
I refuse.
This. my man Brubaker.
I'm not even going to order it. Next
John
time.
Phillips. Reckless. It's a reckless book. So this is volume 3 called Destroy All Monsters in the Reckless Story Arcs.
Now, for those of us that may have like ignored the last 3 times you've said this.
Three? Yeah.
You sons of...
What do you mean by volume?
So these are actually just hardcovers. They come out as a full-fledged story in hardcover. So if you took all 5 or 6 issues and you decided to do an original graphic novel instead of doing single issues, that's what you get out of this.
Okay, so he's just
so
straight up doing...
technically like 15 issues out of the 3 books,
but
if you want to go that way.
It's good because you don't have to worry about the issue breaks, right?
No,
you're not
at all.
Your beats are totally different.
Yeah.
You know, like,
oh, yeah. I mean, he's definitely telling a movie-length story in one book. I mean, these books are all fantastic. And if you're all not reading Brubaker, I'm going to drown you in a sea of Brubakers every chance I get.
Now, I have read these. I haven't read the most recent one.
I read Rise and
have.
Fall of the Shi'ar Empire.
Ooh.
He did that.
He did do that.
I read that, too.
Yeah.
I don't think it... how does that rank on your Brubaker list?
Lower side.
Yeah.
What would you say that Reckless is about for those that haven't jumped in yet?
So, Ethan Reckless is a character in the book that... he takes cases. He's kind of like a private investigator, but he takes cases based off of if he thinks it's worth his time.
Okay, yes.
That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, from what I remember, their base of operations is in a theater.
He owns a defunct movie theater.
There's a phone number that you call, and you leave your message. And
if he feels like taking the case, there's a little bit of judgment
as to whether you're...
Like if it's somebody like, hey, I lost my cat or something, he's going to be like, yeah, go find your cat. Yeah.
No, but like, honestly, like a you've been wronged kind of way, right?
Yeah,
very much so. Each one of these books, he definitely gets himself into some shit, man.
There's some some of that vengeance.
A little bit here and there.
So on this one, what's the title of this volume and what do you like about it?
Destroy All Monsters. So this one actually goes very deep into his... partner, I can't remember her name now. Damn.
Which one?
Way to put him on the spot. Maybe he didn't read it.
So it's the girl with the purple hair.
Oh, right. Yeah, his assistant.
Yeah, his assistant. Yeah. So she ended up becoming part of the theater because it was her dad's theater originally.
Yeah, correct.
And he ended up hiring her because she was defacing the front of the theater. He catches her and he's like, hey, you want a job?
Yes.
So come to find out, she's really, really good at this kind of thing. She actually gets through all of his asks and says, hey, I think maybe we want to do this, and usually he agrees with her. But this delves really deep into kind of her backstory, which I thought was cool.
That's
so
really cool.
You're learning a lot about a character who's been there the first 2 books, not been a side character necessarily, but you get really deep into what her character represents to him. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, of course, the craziness of the case he decides to take is just...
One of my favorites is in the first volume, she almost automatically goes... what you're doing right now is a bad idea. Don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he's like, no, it's not that bad. She's like, no, it's bad. And I'll make a bet with you that it's bad.
No, she definitely keeps him a little more on the straight and narrow, even though there's no way that that's ever going to really happen.
Yes.
But she keeps his focus where it needs to be.
Yes. All right. Well, excellent. I like that pick. And it was duh.
Dude, come on. It's Brubaker and Phillips.
Yes.
I'm probably going to die going... you guys read Brubaker and Phillips? And then I'll just croak, and that'll be it.
All right, Keith, what about you?
Well, and since we're just going to, like, go to our home bases and just, like, deal with only the things we know.
That's correct.
Your home.
Yeah, it's just like, I am grabbing Inferno number 1.
You're blowing me away.
Yeah.
You got an X-Men story here?
But come on, this is also the culmination.
It is.
So what started in the house? You know, now burns down in the inferno.
That's right.
And the story is very deep into the whole situation of Moira, Mystique, and Destiny.
Which is just, all you have to say is that, and I'm so interested. I want to read so bad.
It's Moira's definitely the character that has had astronomical growth underneath Hickman's stewardship.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so amazingly so.
And I always liked her as a character.
Sure.
I've always found her very interesting. I liked the scientist on the side aspect. I liked Mirror Island. I liked the little bit of a love interest to Charles from way back in the past, the Banshee, mm-hmm. Sean Cassidy stuff. I've liked all of it.
Yeah, but what they did with her is kind of the same that, was it Peter David did with Multiple Man?
Yep.
Where you took that character to a completely new level and went, oh my God, my mind's blown. I would have never thought to make this character this complex.
No, the depth that has been added is outstanding. And for that, I really appreciate the whole idea. I thought, you know, that this was going longer. I thought there was still more of a plan going, but I don't feel like this is too abrupt. Like, you're still getting into a situation here where you knew that...
They've been doing this for 2 years now.
You knew Utopia burns. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's just the... It's not going to last forever. Nothing good will last forever like that in a world of X-Men. So what does it mean, you know, as we're getting here? So in true Hickman style, it is told with multiple plot points running at the same time, is bringing up all the points of what's been going on and where its elements are.
Yeah.
And it's just done with the same beats and heart that I see in House of X, Powers of Ten. It is not as earth-shattering. But, like, I wouldn't expect that. Like, that was supposed to be, you didn't know anything coming, you know, like type idea and all this. I do think that there's room inside the story for some twists and some setup. And, you know, looking at, you know, really nobody's going to walk out of here clean. You know, it's all going to be a little villainous. Because that's a big point that you had with where the X-Men were going inside this story is creating your own island and separating yourself and making some demands in the world for how this is going to work and not work. And, you know, there's a lot of gray area in there. You can say that your intentions were well, but, you know, like, you're not exactly clean on how you got it all put together. So I think that this is going to highlight that. I think this is all the dirty little secrets that got you to where you were. They're all going to come to light.
That's excellent.
And I'm enjoying it. Sheedy on the art is really solid. It's, you know, the pacing is exactly what I expect in Hickman, X-Men. His version of what he does with superheroes always has a very deliberate feel to it.
Yes.
And that's where this is at. It's serious. It's impactful. It's what I'm looking for. I don't, like I said, maybe I'm not ready for it to be completely over.
Right. But just holding on.
Like, not my choice. You know, like, I'm not the one, writing. Yeah. So, you know, like, you're just like.
Well, Hickman's always got a plan. He pretty much outlines everything he wants to do before he even writes it. So.
Agreed. Yeah. And. Man, in Hickman I trust for sure, especially in the X-Men world at this point.
So. This means I have to, like, read faster.
Yeah.
Because I took all the X stuff from the House of X Powers of 10 stuff and put it all in publication order.
Oof.
And started rereading it all that way. And I got about halfway. I'm about halfway through.
Not bad. Wow. Well, what I was going to ask, and this might put you on the spot a teensy bit there, Keith, but as someone that dabbles in and out of X-Men for sure, with this concept, do you feel like if you read Hawks and Pox, and now Inferno's coming up. Do you think you can jump into Inferno, or do you think you got to read the entire lineage of what's come out in the last couple of years?
The three key plot lines in here are really, they reference some pieces that were in between, but they're really rooted in Hawks and Pox.
So
I think you're okay.
Do you think you can read Swords maybe, and that would take
No,
away?
Actually, I think Swords is a little bit outside.
That was kind of... its own thing.
Swords was a very specific event. Yeah. Swords was a very specific thing and driving.
That's
and I don't
news.
See its elements in here right away. I think you can read anything you want inside
of
this
course.
World and still be good with it. I think that there have been some fantastic developments, even on the smaller scale. And I think that a lot of people, the best part you can have with having a conversation with X-Men fans right now is not arguing, but fighting for your favorite. You know, like I really liked Marauders. I really liked Excalibur. I really like, you know, and you know, Excalibur's. I'm the only one that's going to be on that. I'm not going to call Excalibur the best, but I'm still.
I liked Excalibur.
I mean, everything I've read
all the way up through what I've read it through.
Been
good.
I've always liked Otherworld. You know, like that's just it's a little home spot. I think Excalibur might have been the first one of all those books when I went backwards into them that I was able to get the most of and really kind of like. Dig deep into it, read it all the way through, because so much of the other stuff was fragmented. Like, mm-hmm. I'd get parts of it here, I'd collect parts of it there. So, like, when you're starting buying all this stuff in 93 and you're trying to go backwards, Excalibur was dirt cheap.
You could always get that.
It was very easy to get those issues. Well,
probably that one in Alpha Flight. Probably the cheapest.
And, yeah, and I read most of Alpha Flight. I never finished Alpha Flight, I'll be honest. You know, like, I not that I really had a big problem with it, just weren't characters that resonated with me, and they were too far removed from the X universe that they felt like distant cousins.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, like, they were. Even reading the story. Which, yeah. So, you know, like, I there was some good character development in some of those pieces there. They deliberately didn't play deeply in the X-Men world.
All right. Real quick, because we haven't done this in a minute. How many buns
on this one? Yeah. I'm at 4.25.
Okay.
Completely willing to grab the last 0.75 when I read the whole story.
Sure.
And you know, catch what I missed.
Okay. And I'm assuming 2 buns. Yeah,
that's
you?
Why I thought we skipped the bun scale.
Mine goes up to 11.
Yeah. So 2 out of 5. Is
yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
All right. So I'm going to do mine. Mine is from this week. So it's a bit cheaty to go. I went further in, but I didn't want to talk about something I already talked about, which was Booster. Yeah, Booster.
Well, no,
Beetle.
No, you got shamed into not talking.
I did.
About Booster.
I was gonna
you wanted to talk about Booster.
I was gonna do
it.
Blue and Gold, because they're.
And I'm like, didn't you already do that?
Yeah, they are on fire right now. If you're not reading it, it is just a great romp. They talk about faking their death, because that really worked for Superman. and Booster wants to get these toys made by this guy named Todd. He heard about. That's really
that's
good.
Too funny.
So there's a lot of
They're playing meta.
Yeah, they're playing meta in a big bad way, and I'm loving it. But I digress. What I'm actually picking today is going to be.
So you still did a review on that, even without doing a review on it. You son of a.
So.
In the wrecks.
Dang it! I knew that was coming. Being punished. But yeah, pick up Blue and Gold. So I did pick up Task Force Z, which is done by Matthew Rosenberg and Eddie Barros. Did I say it right?
I think so.
Okay, good.
I don't know why you keep looking at us like we're going to know how to pronounce these names, right? We murder them all the time.
I know we do, but some of us have actually
tried to have
these
a lot
people.
Of respect for these it's people. Yeah. They do great work.
They really
yet,
do.
And yet all they expect from us is to get a name right.
I talked to Gleason and literally thought he was Tomasi for a good hour and a half. So,
which is hilarious.
And he just took it, which is just shows you how nice these people are. So anyway, Task Force Z is the story of Red Hood taking on kind of, it's a play on, of course, Task Force X and zombies. We have seen death come into the DC universe. It comes and goes all the time with all comic book characters in any world. And this is kind of a take of like, well, let's dive into that and see what we can actually do and play around in it. This group, especially people that are potentially listening to this, know our thoughts on Deceased, which mm-hmm. is one of the best zombie stories I've read. And it's saying zombie stories is broad, and I don't really like saying it with Deceased, but it's in that vein. And here I kind of had that in my head as I was reading this book, and I do think that that's kind of a, I wouldn't recommend that. I would open it to more of like a continuity story. In this case, Rosenberg keeps everything very weighted down by the idea of continuity, which is very tough in the aspect that these guys have all died. All of these characters, Bane, Man-Bat, Arkham Knight, were actually killed in continuity. They're dead. Bane being the most recent one with A-Day, written by Tynan, for the current Batman run. A-Day being Arkham blew up. But so apparently there's this force, this task force, the same group that did Task Force X, now have this idea using Lazarus essence to keep their corpses kind of moving and keeping them motivated to listen to them. They use these zombies as a way to go and do nasty stuff with no repercussion, because they're just dead villains. It goes even further.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be repercussions.
So
this is a repercussion story.
Right. And so what they use is they use the king of dying and coming back, which is Jason Todd, Red Hood, as their leader, and this is the group that are kind of doing operations. there's mystery involved on like who these who Task Force, who's running it, who
Why
are the
isn't
heads.
Solomon Grundy running this thing,
right? Solomon, and I'm sure they'll get there, but this is only the first issue.
Isn't he born on a Monday or died on a whatever the hell, born on a Sunday, born died on a Monday. Monday, yeah, whatever the hell it is.
But the thing I like
hey,
about
Jesus.
It, well, we're canceled. The thing I love about this book is it does have the deceased end, and I will go into like Suicide Squad essence of like, let's go for the windows and see if we can shatter them without destroying the story. And they do it very well. It's Jason Todd trying to be the leader of a bunch of zombies is hilarious and works on levels I didn't think would work. And one of like right off the bat in the first issue, just limbs are falling off and heads are falling off. It doesn't matter because they're all just zombies, so they kind of put them back together at the end. It's a really fun story, a really great romp, and it's got action and mystery.
You call it a romp.
Yeah.
It's a romp.
A romp is like...
No, I said it's a romp.
Oh, it is a romp. So it's action, mystery, and it's insanity. It's written extremely well. The art is phenomenal. For me, it's a 4.25 out of 5 buns, especially if you are into anything going on with Abernathy as the editor for Gotham in itself. If you're reading a bunch of DC comics like I am with a Batman theme or Gotham theme, Abernathy's the group editor for DC Comics on Batman right now, mm-hmm. and he's killing it with these stories because every single one, there's so many, for those that don't know, Batman's taken over DC Comics for some reason, but each one of them, especially the ones in continuity, have a very, very direct line of storytelling that affect each other. Regardless if you're reading Detective Comics or Arkham Asylum, it doesn't matter. Regardless, it's all working.
Well, I think they're
well,
doing a very good job of turning around and keeping them straight and not contradictory.
Correct.
Without having to read everything to be there.
Mm-hmm. I think the hardest one right now is probably Harley Quinn. She's a little kind of in two spots because I think Tennant has a real story he wants to tell about her journey, whereas Harley Quinn itself has a story to tell about Harley Quinn. So, yeah. But other than that, it's a great book. I suggest it.
All right.
With that,
spinning the racks. Spinning the racks.
I appreciate how every week you can do that exactly in time.
I don't
know how you do it.
It's
the same cadence. It's yeah. You just hit all the right notes.
The old ESPN Sports Center.
You know, you guys are frustrating me, and that's very like apt because of our topic tonight. So
look at the king of segway here.
Yeah, segwaying right into that.
We are going to
driving it right down the road.
No, it's a romp. We're romping now.
We're romping. Let's everybody romp.
It's a romp-com.
So
I'm going to slide.
For those of you that collect comic books, and if you're listening to this podcast, there's a good chance you do, you may have heard kind of like rumors about, oh, people leaving Diamond or Lunar takes over DC Comics distribution. And that is kind of what we're going to dive into today. I'm going to talk with these two veterans in the game and kind of see if we can map out or smooth over all these rough edges that is the comic book distribution problem. And
here's your problem.
And probably all distribution.
Here's your problem. You know what your problem is?
What's that?
Your problem is you tried to bring us in here to this conversation as if we were going to know anything, as opposed to
whoops,
two fried out shells of a human being after what we've That's gone right. through. This is
I'm
is,
so I've, tired.
I've seen war.
It's weird to see I've your pupils five, are really dilated, like, chunks of hair on the floor. It's weird.
You know, you think about the guy who's like working the factory job. And yeah. just something gets slid in front of him, and he's just on autopilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically that's now. Where whatever now. Slides in front, we just got to go with.
That's right.
That's the game.
So let's...
That's made Tuesdays really interesting.
Yeah, let's talk first about the old times. When the I started here...
The long time ago?
Yeah, the long, long time ago. When I started here in comic books...
No, let's go before that.
Okay, let's go before
let's
that.
Let's go all the way back to the original store.
Sure.
And the original Wednesday morning process.
What
the
is,
original
come around.
Wednesday morning process.
Yeah.
We didn't have a system as nice as our point of sale now. We were all running off of an Access database.
Right.
We had a deal. we worked out a deal with our local UPS driver.
Okay.
That he went out early in the morning and started doing the AM, you know, overnights. So they all had to be delivered by like 9 a.m.
Yeah, it was some crazy like early in the morning time.
So he didn't get his whole truck loaded before he left the yard.
Yeah, he did. He had to just get out to go get that other wrap done.
Go start doing this. So one of the other guys on a nearby route would pick up the rest of his packages. And at about 9:15, 9:30 in the morning, they would meet at a shopping center over on Federal and 93rd. It's the Food Bank Shopping Center. It's now got like...
I think it's 102nd.
No, because we were at 104th.
I know, but it wasn't that far away, was it?
Yeah, it was right across the street from Newsland.
Okay, that'd be like 94th.
92nd was...
Maybe 94th then or something
Like that. Something like what I said. Yeah, so... We would go and hang out in the parking lot and wait for these two.
Like a weird drug deal.
UPS driver.
But we're waiting for UPS guys to dump us comics.
We also would be multiple cars because like, I was going to say,
neither
of
you had giant trucks.
Sean had the Honda.
I had a Honda.
I think I had at that time.
Was that blue car?
I think I had my Altima.
You didn't have the?
Yeah, it was the Altima. That's okay.
Yeah, my Nissan.
Zach didn't drive yet.
Right. Zach wasn't old.
Don had the, didn't he have a? What was his car? I can't remember, but it was like a Explorer or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something
yeah,
it
was
like
he was the smaller, biggest car with it.
Yeah,
Explorer.
So, he would
all
get
the least amount.
Interestingly,
we go there. We're hanging out. As soon as they showed up, they would turn around and get us the boxes. We'd pay for the boxes right there, and then we'd go back to the shop. We would be at the back of the shop about 9:30, 9:45, and we would open at 11 o'clock, and the four of us would get the order ready.
Just. Get the red.
We were
right
in about an hour to an hour and 25 minutes.
Now, real quick, when you say UPS bringing you your comics, you mean all of them?
All of it.
All of your comics were coming
all
from
the comics.
Two guys. Okay.
Well, because before we didn't have the day early, like the Tuesday early release. It shows up on Wednesday. You're opening on Wednesday. Comics go on sale Wednesday. You better get that on the shelves.
Good luck.
Better get that in hold slots. Better get all that done.
Okay. A couple people would be walking in at 11:05.
Right.
Yep.
That would
want
be
my comics. And if they were a hold slot and you didn't have everything pulled, you had to keep track
Scramble.
Of who you gave what.
So fast forward.
That was the interesting times. Yeah. Then Diamond comes up with a nice policy of delivering a day early.
Right, and that's where I came in. When I was here, we got Diamond. Everyone was doing everything, and it would come in a day early.
We had to pay for that.
Yeah.
We had to opt in every week to pay for it.
We
are still paying for it. It is still a $4 a week charge.
To get it a day
to
early.
To be able to get it a day early because they will send in secret shoppers to make sure you are not selling early.
Oh, yeah.
So
we're paying
for the secret shoppers service, and that's part of the whole thing.
They never recognized that we had television.
Actually, you know what? I don't think we actually are paying for it currently. I think they suspended that at COVID.
Right.
I think they went nice, and so that's been in suspense.
But again, all of our comics would come
a day early,
and we would have to get through it all and get it all put away. Uh-huh. Now let's fast forward again. 2020 happens, and DC Comics decides.
Well before we fast forward and jump into all this craziness, we're going to go all the way back to about 1991 real quick.
Oh, okay. I love this time travel. Okay.
We're going all the way back. So before.
I now have flannel on my waist. Okay.
Before I even had a store, before we had a store at all.
Yeah.
This is way back when there was multiple distributors.
Yeah.
And you'd get your stuff whenever, and it would show up whenever.
Was there a new
comic
book day in 91?
There was like two or three different distributors. That would send you books, and you would kind of get them and put them out when you had them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's kind
of... It wasn't unified.
No, it wasn't unified at all.
We didn't have, like, a new comic day in 90s, right? Was there, like, Wednesdays was the
day?
It
was supposed to be Wednesdays still, just because you kind of get your stuff Monday and Tuesday and sometimes Friday before and whenever the hell it showed up.
Right.
So, because you'd get stuff from Marvel, you'd get stuff from DC.
You would have, like, a release
every
date,
small publisher. Yeah.
Okay.
So, the genius behind Diamond is they kind of...
Unified all that,
and it all became through one distributor.
Until 2020.
Until, dun, 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 now you can continue your story.
So until 2020.
So for the last 25 years or something like that, it's been that.
And we did talk about this lightly during our COVID thing, but basically distribution came to a halt. Mm-hmm. DC Comics went a different direction, and after 2 months, we were getting our DC Comics from a different distributor.
DC split to two distributors, UCS and to Lunar. Uh-huh. Who are really, UCS is actually Midtown Comics.
Okay.
Lunar is Discount Comic Book Service, DCBS Online. But they had they had enough infrastructure put together that they could be able to process.
Yeah, because the volume like that this. They do that they produce online, they could actually do shipping.
And the other fun secret in the world is that it was not offered out to one other large scale one, the one that's probably larger than both of them, which was My Comic Shop.
Ah.
But it wasn't offered out to My Comic Shop because My Comic Shop has personal ties back to Diamond. And so if DC was making changes, that information would come up to Diamond right to pretty Diamond. Quickly. So, you know, like it's all about negotiations.
Interesting.
Things like that. But basically everybody on the west half of the U.S. was told to order from Lunar, and the east half was by UCS. That was a split up. That's where you get the books.
So after 20 years, now we have two. Now different places that we're getting comic
two,
books.
And Diamond's still in the mix with everybody else.
Right.
Yeah, it's just Lunar only gets DC.
Now I'm going to skip ahead again.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now we're in 2021.
Okay. 88 miles per hour. Where are we at now?
Now we're in 2021. And we get a big Marvel announcement.
Marvel says, that's a pretty good idea. Let's go do that too.
We don't have a standing contract with you anymore.
Right.
So I guess we'll leave.
Yeah. So these moves were made at end of contract and at different, different factors going on about the way the world is working. Marvel says, hey, let's go buddy up with Penguin Random House. Penguin Random House is the largest book distributor out there.
They're huge.
They are
absolutely huge.
Yeah. We're talking about everybody, most boxes probably that are for sale at Barnes & Noble probably came from Wayne Penguin.
Absolutely.
Scholastic's out there too, and Ingram's another one.
Ingram's another one.
Simon
& Schuster.
Or no, I'm sorry, not Scholastic. Simon & Schuster
was the other one.
Schuster is the other one. But they are set up to be able to do this. They have a lot of accounts going on, but they're going to build a brand new comic division to handle Marvel Comics specifically.
How crazy is that? Now, after 20 years, now we have three different distributors, but there's more to this. It kind of gets more involved because not only do we have new distributors, but we have a lot of real world issues that are starting to pull back the curtain on like what happened during 2020 during shutdown. And all those repercussions are kind of like ripples in the ocean. And
well,
giant
the perpetual
waves.
Motion machine kind of broke.
Giant waves are now crashing down.
Ever considered the idea of a big freighter on the sea, right?
Sure, yeah.
That decides it would like to turn.
Just turn sideways.
Or maybe just stop for a minute.
Yeah. And
you're not going to stop for a minute or in a minute.
Right.
Because by the time what it takes you to stop is a big process.
Yeah.
But what's worse is this process it takes to start up again. Yeah. So here we are in pandemic shuts down and things change and publishers get told, hey, we're not printing any. Printing houses get told, we're not printing comics for a little bit because everything's on pause. So printing houses aren't ordering paper. And then people who are making paper aren't making paper because they don't have orders to fill.
Yeah.
And then we start ramping it up.
Yes.
And what? And what else? Because there's the extra factor in here.
Are we talking about the crisis?
We're talking about growth.
Yes.
We're not printing the same amount of comics as we were. It was to turn around. What are we thinking there? Like Walking Dead, like 116, wasn't it, several years ago? Wasn't that they had multiple covers? Hit huge.
It was 115.
115.
Yeah.
Multiple covers.
It was like
huge numbers, like
covers?
190. I want to say it was like 190,000.
It was the biggest book, I think, for that year.
Monstrously printed.
It was huge.
Yeah.
What do we do now? Berserk hits 615,000.
Which is you're getting back to
90s.
Like late 80s, early 90s.
Spawn Universe, King Spawn, Gunslinger. Through the roof, these we're just throwing records.
House of Slaughter was another one.
House of Slaughter's there. Yeah. I mean, just keep doing this. So demand is higher. We have more books on the rack, different variants, different pieces. Like demand is bigger too. So not only are we not necessarily getting all the paper we wanted, we're not getting the extra paper.
Our demand launched in a time when we couldn't.
All the extra you need is not there along with all the basic that you need.
Right.
So first step.
Yes.
Make the item. It's a problem.
Can't do that.
Can't get the paper. Can't necessarily get all the time on the printer. Uh-huh. Also, because there's more demand there. Printers only can run so many hours. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's problems. There's complications.
It is. It's an incredible concept to see what 2020 brought, where the idea of our pop culture movement doesn't necessarily stop as much as it really just kind of adjusts and turns into something else. And a lot of people that were going to theaters and concerts and concepts have started kind of leaning back into their old analog paper reading comic books. And then Superstars started doing that with Berserker, and you have Keanu Reeves behind that. And all of a sudden, it shines a new light, and then we get that.
Well,
but,
Mother of Madness happened, too.
Mother of Madness. What's Leguizamo's book that's about to come out next month? I know what it's called.
Is it a sentence?
No, it's actually just a name. It's okay. It's like a single character name.
The Pest? No, I'm just
but,
bad joke.
But that's my point being is that we see this new spotlight kind of shined on our little world over here, but it comes at a time where a lot of these things are just insanely difficult to get a hold of. So it's very cloudy and muddy, so I'll try our best.
The world machine is a little fractured.
It's super fractured. So. But I'll try to clear this up. So let's focus with Penguin. We have a new distributor on Penguin. How does that release go?
Well, they had 6 months of a setup. They announced this. We knew it was coming in 6 months. 4 months later, it starts ordering, you know, because you start putting your orders in at that point in time.
Yeah, you got to do it a couple months in advance.
We start seeing some of the wrinkles because the ordering system of ordering trades, hardcovers, you know, graphic novels, books, all that Penguin is used to is just completely different than what you're doing with the absolute weekly amounts of comics that are coming through.
Right.
So it's starting to show a little bit of cracks. And also the idea that, you know, in books, they announce a new Stephen King book, right?
Sure.
And I'm a store and I'm like, well, I'd like 25 copies of that. So you put 25 copies on order, usually that they know that order before it goes to print.
Of course.
It's wonderful. That's, you know, that works
that's
there. But
basically how that works,
you're
yeah.
kind of putting a number in there and then just setting it and forgetting it. In right. comics, you might put in your initial number and then adjust it right before that final deadline because all of a sudden, you know, it turns
Superman might come out as gay.
Some dude keeps promoting Blue and Gold, and we got five more people that want it, so I need five more copies.
Some dude.
You know. But, you know,
you
like
be reading it.
All of these little differences and all these little adjustments, you know, aren't key for us because if I continually order 25 copies of every book that we have out there, then we don't have enough on some, and we have way too many on others.
Right.
So losing money because you didn't make sales.
Then we go broke.
Losing money because you've just got product that doesn't go anywhere. We don't get to return it. There's nothing to do with it except for just, you know, I don't know, hold it forever or discount it to oblivion.
Right.
So you're starting to see Penguin had some real difficulties in the first couple weeks of taking orders in.
Sure.
Variants counted weirdly. You know, like it's... And before all of this, the largest thing is that when we were with Diamond, we had a singular system. We got all of our product from Diamond. We used it into the Diamond system. And now we have Lunar and Penguin feeding us stuff that have to go into a Diamond-based point-of-sale system here and all the subscriptions. And they don't talk. They don't know how many copies of a second print did we order so that we can tie people to it. We have to do all the stuff. We have to do so many pieces by
hand.
It's all manual, yeah.
It's an incredible point that we kind of missed. But for 20 years, you say that Diamond kind of had a lockdown on this entire process. And through that, obviously...
They definitely, since the early days when they put it together, they streamlined it to where it was... The system itself was, I mean, nothing is, you know, completely infallible, but the system itself was set up to do exactly what we needed to do.
Well, and absolutely, you're going to set down roots to try to make things easier and streamline a process, but then you fast forward and you let go of those properties and we have a system that's dedicated to the Diamond product. And now, like he says... you have your competitors that kind of have to communicate with you so everything can kind of flow correctly in the binary process of getting you your comic books. And it's an incredibly difficult process on just the delivery aspects of that. That's not talking about like keeping our inventory straight or making sure it's pulled correctly. These are all just tiny little hills that kind of build up into one giant mountain of a problem.
Mm-hmm. The industry just had, hosted by Comics Pro, what was called a data summit.
Okay.
The idea was that people got together and expressed ideas about how the data that we need, electronic data that we need to be able to sell the product from the time it's initially announced all the way through when we receive it, and changes that happen, price changes, artist changes, naming changes, any of these types of things that happen, or specifically, how do you turn around and tie a book to a series?
Right.
So it's very common for a hold slot to say, I would like to subscribe to Amazing Spider-Man. And that seems very easy on the surface. That means that person would like issue one to infinity until this book is over. But then you get a little complicated, because what if they want different variants?
Yeah, like, what if they want to be to the B cover?
Yeah, I'd like to move to the B covers on all this stuff. Okay, well, Diamond System handles that kind of okay.
Yeah, it can be okay.
And then, but the problem is that Diamond is no longer the one controlling the data. That they're getting the data fed to them. They have to use the data, and we get the data from another side, and sometimes it just breaks.
Don't die. Yeah.
I'll tell you this right now. Everybody who's on Amazing.
Were you telling me this morning about, or after when you first got in here? You were telling me about one book that I'm tied to three different times.
Oh, yeah. Like,
well, I was like, what?
So this is a great example. Amazing Spider-Man right now will be coming out with issues 80 and 80.bay, B-E-Y, yes. 80.beyond.
Okay.
Okay, right now in our computer system, nobody who is on it is on for .bay, because right. .bay is not considered part of the series as far as the data is concerned.
Right.
But yet everybody who's on this is probably going to want this issue, because it directly ties to the story.
Next issue.
It's there. It's inside.
It's 0.5 issue.
Yes, right. You're going to want this thing. Now, we will spend the time to fix it.
Yes,
that's
of course.
What we do
that's
now.
Exactly what we do.
And this is kind
well,
of
if,
one of
if
the...
If we were still in just running a basic register, these books are $2.99. This would be so much easier, but we don't do that because we want to know what we're selling so we can make our orders more accurate.
And not only that, but we want to make sure that everybody that wants something gets it.
Right.
You know,
when we
want to be able to tie it to your hold slot. When you say, hey, I want blah, yeah, we're not going to remember that.
No.
Not at all. So we need to have something that tells us, hey, this guy told you, you tied this to this. He wants this.
He wants this.
Yeah. Now, let it be the boss. Right. It'll be much, much easier. In 2015, when we moved into this system, we all of a sudden got data that we never had before. And what it's called is, in the industry, it's called cycle data.
Sure.
So the idea is this. Buy 100 copies of Batman. Mm-hmm. How many sold in the first week?
Right.
How many of them are reserved but yet not really sold yet? But they're in the box. You know, like they're there. You expect them to sell, kind of idea.
Yes, of course.
How many sell in the second week, third week, fourth week, all the way up? How far do you want to count in the future? Because if you know this data, if you know that I'm ordering 100 copies, but all of a sudden Batman kind of falls down, like it has recently.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't adjust that down, you're throwing away money again. Mm-hmm. But how do you tell? Well, this system will tell you. It has that what's called cycle data, where it shows you by week how much was sold and what's still on hold that is expected to sell, and gives you that statistics so that I can make a correct answer as to, okay, now we're really selling 77 copies of Batman. I'm going to change the order to 82 because it's
instead
a plus 5.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a plus 5 in case a couple people pick it up, you know, randomly. Mm-hmm. And I can catch the trends as people start to add on. So all of a sudden 77 goes to 79. All right, well, go, you know, 82 goes to 84 in the orders, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So it's knowing that information is really, really strong. Now, applying that information today has become a large problem.
Yeah. So with all that description of the cloudiness and the problems there, the concept here and what I wanted to kind of end with was the idea of the things that it takes to make or ensure that we're doing what we can to help you, the listener or the customer, get that comic and ensure you that these problems are our problems. They're not necessarily your problems as much as you understanding how these things work will help you understand why certain things might be a hiccup or can't be available for at the moment. But knowing that we're doing everything we can on our end to make this still the easiest trip, you just come in and get your comics.
Well, and this is the cost of doing business. You know, all the problems that we talk about here and all this is definitely what it is. It's nothing more than us turning around and shining a big light on the idea that we're going to be pushing very hard for everybody to keep their hold slots up to date, because when there's a shortage, when there's a problem, when there's something that doesn't come to us, we may potentially get up to the point in time where we do order 100 copies but are only shipped 80, because that's what can come with paper, that's what could come off the printer, whatever the story is. Hold slots will be taken care of first.
Yeah.
Those are the known quantities that have been reserved, that we always fill those before putting them on a rack. That's the way it works. That's we do everything that we can to always make sure that, you know, if you've asked for a book, that we turn around and get it. That's our job. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We don't have a problem with that. But this is where we kind of ask for a little bit of help is, you know, hey, help us, you know, stay on top of this.
That shameless plug of Comic Talk you were talking about.
Yeah, if you join on Facebook and look at the main page, I Want More Comics, Then from there, there's groups. And what we do inside the groups is a little bit more focused topic so that it's not just so many posts out there on our main page.
Yeah, randomness.
Yeah, we could.
You'd get so lost in randomness, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know anything.
You could advertise every hour.
Yeah.
You know, for what we're doing and all this. But we want to turn around and make sure that if you are kind of opting in to listen to the comic advertising or the comic conversation, then be in the Comic Talk group and see that. We every week will turn around, and it's now a team effort. We start off with the Play It Again Sams, which is any second printings that are announced. You've never had a chance to order these before, so we bring them up. We show you what information we have about them, and you're able to request from there.
That's right.
Next thing that we lead into is Richie's Last Call.
Yep.
So if there are new stories starting up, new series, one-shots or anything like that, Richie is going to explain to you who we're putting onto those stories based upon what your past purchasing or subscription habits were.
Yep.
And so that you could turn around, brand new Batman title, and we're putting everybody on that was on the last Batman title.
That's right. If you wanted Batman Secret Files Peacekeeper and you were getting Batman, that's what you were on. And then you can go, oh, I'm taken care of. And if you're worried, you can go,
Oh, please
don't forget me.
Like, oh, look, I'm not getting added on to the new Brubaker title and all this, but I do want to hear about it because somebody's beat me over the head with it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Please add me on please in there me. And all this. So we have that in the Last Call. Then we go into the early FOC hype.
Yep.
In the early FOC hype, I pick out some of the highlights of the week. I think these are the books that are going to be in demand. I think these are the books that you should just pay a little attention to, add in because it's a good number one, you know, add in because, oh, that's a hot cover, add in because there's going to be something going on that might make this a problem for it to be available on the rack.
Yeah.
That's what we're focused on there so that you can make sure that you're still getting. We want you to buy the books that you like.
That's it. That's not the we're trying whole
to provide,
game.
Yeah, we're trying to provide the most amount of information we can get you so you can make these decisions yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why keeping your hold slot as healthy as possible is key.
Yeah.
If you have a hold slot with us, or anybody, actually.
If you don't have a hold slot with us and you go, ooh, what about that? We do have a page on our website that speaks about the hold slot program, what it's like today and all this, and how to join. And again, it's not something that costs. We just ask that you have 5 titles ongoing in a month, and you see us once a month to pick it up.
That's it.
Most of the rules are just built off of the only that right there.
That's right.
And then inside that, you know, just keep it up to date so that, you know, like, hey, I'm going to drop a title. Let us know so we're no longer ordering it for you. Mm-hmm. And then if you're going to turn around and need to add stuff on, this is the whole hype train here so that you can turn around and make sure you don't get missed.
Yes. And the final thing is the idea of the future. We don't stop at what we already know. A lot, and I will always attest to this, especially being here for 5 years now, is the idea that you guys have never stopped and been like, okay, I think we've nailed it. We've got everything. You know, you always go, what can we do to make it better? What can we do to see how can we make this smoother? And with every challenge that comes, we will continue to make new adjustments and change the way we distribute to you to make it easier and more accurate every time. That's the commitment, and that's why you hang out here.
Well, the challenges over the last year have been a lot more than they've been, I think, since we've opened.
It really feels like kind of like molding a whole brand new concept.
We've been running the gauntlet for at least a couple months now, where it's like, hey, guess what? There's 3 doors here. Which one you can open?
We're really facing a world where we've just never seen this amount of radical change to process, to needs, absolutely, to things like that.
Yeah, and it's never happened.
Well, and it's across the board. It's not even just comics.
I mean,
I'm having the same issues ordering records or reordering trades.
We could talk about this exact thing we just did with comics with every single industry aspect
of
our industry and this store.
And here's the spoiler alert for next podcast is that we're kind of going to continue a little bit of this conversation, not all of it, but the other major changes that have gone on here around in I Want More Comics have identified about what the needs are to be able to service what we need to do and things like this. And so we're going to talk about how we are changing structurally here in the store about staffing and about departments and about things like this, all in the efforts to make it a better experience for all of our customers.
Exactly.
So we'll have a good conversation next week about some of that.
I like that.
Able to get into
foreshadowing.
Yeah. To be continued.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe, probably, somebody who's not even on this podcast right now.
Someone
will make a first appearance.
First appearance.
Please.
It's a first appearance. A collector's first appearance.
First appearance. Dun, 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 dun.
So there you go.
Spinning the racks.
Let's quit it with the spinning the racks. We're done. But thank you guys for hanging out with us. Until next time, I'm Richie.
You are, and I'm Sean.
I'll be Keith.
That's correct. We'll catch you next issue.
Against wrong.